The day is amazing with you in it. Thank you for being my sunshine. I was wondering if you and I could have a talk about excellence. I find you to be an intriguing person, full of insightful and thoughtful consideration for others. I have had problems in the past that deal with recognizing the strengths in those around me. I hope that you will become my mentor.
You are listening to Words with a Mad Coach. I am Mad Coach. I am Mad Coach. I am Mad Coach. Coach Sess. Coach Sess. I am Mad Coach. I am Mad Coach. I am Mad Coach. Coach Sess. Coach Sess. You are listening to Words with a Mad Coach.
We are just short of 3 weeks to fight for it. 20. It is Martin taking on Paris Artis. Jonathan Martin, the phenom himself from Carolina Combat Sports and Fitness. Paris Artis out of Team Rock Fayetteville. This fight is going down. It is happening. And just having some discussions about some of the fighters and some of the fights that are on the cards. Talking about some of the other fights in the area, fights on different shows coming up. And, of course, you know, we're talking about those fighters that are, in my opinion, putting their names out, doing something good for the show or these shows, in my opinion. And you have to bring up the Paez brothers. And, you know, one of the things that has been said about them is that they might be delusional. And I've always tried to defend and say, well, they're confident about what they can do. I personally think, no matter who you are, how good you are, what reputation you've earned, what respect you've garnered for yourself, you need dance partner. And the Paez brothers have put themselves out there willingly, and it seems like people are just fighting it. They're resisting the future. They're resisting. You do not have to like or love them. This is the next generation of how people will get a name for themselves. They're just doing things a little bit differently. Remember when Conor first came and Conor talked about being champ? Conor talked about knocking people out. Conor talked about being double champ. Conor talked about fighting Floyd Mayweather. And guess what? The more Conor kept his word, people bought into him. The more he said, I'm going to do this, and he did it, and he stepped up, and he showed that he could do it, and he had the skills, people bought into it. The Paez brothers are no different. They're both champions with the same company, all right? And Jacob has fought for Ultimate Battlegrounds in a relatively short period of time, losing a split decision. He should have been demolished if he wasn't legit. I'm thinking that the mistake a lot of people are making with the Paez brothers is you're letting your personal likes and dislikes interfere with your judgments about who they are and what they're bringing to the table. And it's not about the Paez brothers. I don't want to sound like their biggest fan. It's about anybody like them who are bringing it to the table, living up to expectations. They're doing what they're saying they're going to do because I do believe you need dance partners. You need someone out there that's going to help you level up. Anytime we talk about Muhammad Ali, you talk about Joe Frazier. You can't not talk about him. When you talk about Muhammad Ali and the rope-a-dope, you talk about George Foreman. You have to. When you talk about Mickey Ward, you talk about Turo Gotti. You need a dance partner. You need someone that's going to give you that legendary fight. When you talk about Hagler, you talk about Hearns. When you talk about Sugar Ray, you talk about Hagler Hearns. All right? You talk about Duran. It's just some legendary names out there. Regardless, when you talk about George St. Pierre, you have to talk about BJ Penn. You have to talk about Matt Hughes. Just some legendary names out there. You know what I mean? Like, you can talk about legendary names like, yo, I love the UFC, Hoist Gracie, Randy Couture, but they never fought each other. You know what I mean? Like they're separate. They're different. They made their reputations for going out against some incredible people, etching out their own segment in the fight game. Yeah, that's great. It's like, oh, Randy Couture and Fedor. Yeah, they were separate. They never fought each other. What the Paez brothers are doing, they're saying, hey, we wanna fight anybody and everybody who wants this smoke. That's what the Paez brothers are doing. And you don't have to like them. You don't have to like them. I just say what they're doing is the right thing, though. They're bringing attention to the fight game. They're bringing attention to the promotions. They're bringing attention to their gyms. But guess what? If they call your name out, they're also bringing attention to you. So use that heat. That's right. I saw a post today where one of the Paez brothers was talking about Pat Bird. Use it. Ride that wave, man. Because here's the good news. If you beat them, you get the rub. You get the heat. But if you lose, well, they're just doing whatever they say they were going to do anyway. And that was take it to your ass, get you up out of there. It's a win-win situation for anyone who is willing to hop in the cage with the Paez brothers. All right, now, their timing can be off because I've talked about that. You know, I'm not going to sit here and toot their horn and say they get everything right. Their timing can be a little off. Like, I know that they were talking about D-Reddick, and I said, well, you know, the timing's a little off. D-Reddick's already got a fight. Let that fight happen first. Wait to see what happens, because Sam Klepek is no joke either. So if Sam gets past D-Reddick, then there's another name in the hat. You want that. You want to have all the options as much as possible. You want to have all the options. And if D-Reddick does get through Sam, that sets up something beautiful down the road. It sets up something beautiful down the road. Patience is the key to all of this. Patience is the key. It's all about the right timing. The fight skills are going to take care of themselves. The abilities are going to take care of themselves. But let's talk about confidence. Let's talk about being delusional. Because you can have all the abilities in the world, and something can mess with you when you get inside that cage. And for some reason, you're not clicking. Something's not going right. I forget what fight it was, but remember Oliver McCall? It might have been against Lennox Lewis. I can't remember exactly who it was. Might have been against one of the British guys. But one thing I remember, when Oliver McCall was fighting, he was in the ring, and for some unknown weird reason, he didn't attack. For some unknown weird reason, he didn't engage. And the next thing you know, he was like, oh, okay, I'm just going to, I forget exactly what he was doing, but he was walking around the cage. Walking around the ring. He wasn't engaging his opponent. He wasn't hitting him. And he started crying. Nobody knows why he was crying. Nobody knows exactly what was going on with him from a psychological point of view. He just started crying. He didn't show those symptoms before he got into the fight. But he just started crying. And he wouldn't fight. He wouldn't attack. And we saw recently in recent history, I think it was last year, might have been the year before that, where the guy felt like he didn't get paid enough, got to the edge of the ropes, got in, walked out, walked back to the dressing room. We don't know about the mental stuff. Those are the intangibles, the emotions, the thoughts. These are the things you can't really train for. I mean, technically, Buster Douglas, when he fought Mike Tyson and beat Mike Tyson, was going through an emotional situation with his mother just recently dying. He had this fight on the line. He needed the money. And he got in there and destroyed Mike Tyson. And of course, everybody's, oh, but Mike Tyson really didn't train. He was smoking. He was partying. Blah, blah, blah. It didn't matter because those are intangibles. That's why you have to train your best and be ready for any opponent at any given time. You do not know who you're fighting when you step inside that cage. You don't know what that person is going through at the time that they step through those ropes. You don't know who they are in that moment. I've preached this and I continue to preach this. You are not the same person in round one that you are in round three. So Mike Tyson, whether he was partying, smoking, not taking the guy serious, he got tired. Nothing he was doing was working. And who knows, maybe Mike was going through his own mental situation. And that's what caused Buster Douglas to be able to knock him out. So that's why the Pius brothers don't bother me, because they're saying stuff. And as my coach has once said, you got to fight these fights. Today, fighting Jacob Pius or Drew Pius or the Screw. I like these little nicknames they got for themselves. The Screw. You fight him today and you might be dealing with a buzzsaw. You might be dealing with a family full of Yellow Jackets, Hornets. But you fight them on the 11th and they could be mentally worn out. They could be physically worn out. They could be overtrained. You don't know. That's why you have to fight these fights. You just don't know. That's why you have to best try to perform the best you can. Put yourself in the right position to win. Put yourself in the right situation to have the advantage. Pius brothers are doing it right. And that's the fun part about it. They're creating this curiosity. You should be proud and thrilled to get in there. You don't have to like their politics. You don't have to know who they vote for. You don't have to know what they subscribe to. All you have to know is on a certain date, at a certain time, in a certain arena, inside of a certain engagement, in a certain format, a certain arena, certain rules, you are going to face off with one of the Pius brothers. And what you need from them and want from them is the thing that they brought to themselves. And that's the notoriety. That's the reputation. They're making it for themselves in a very short period of time. And that, I think, that, again, that's what's bugging people. They only got four fights. Then who are they? What are they doing? Why? Why? They're doing it right. And you take a guy like Quincy Evans. Oh, man, this guy's like eradicating people down in Georgia area. He's doing it right too, and he's got like a calmer and cooler demeanor. You know, he's got the physique and the, you know, people like the way he talks, you know, like, oh man, you know. But guess what? He's doing the same thing, just in a different way. Just in a different way. So Quincy Evans is another monster. But see, people do justify him. He's eliminating competition, but they'll justify, well, he's got more fights, he's got more experience, you know, he's got more titles, he's got more belts, he deserves to talk the way he talks. The only thing that matters is he's winning, he's eradicating people, and he's facing challenges. The Pius brothers are too. You don't get to determine that the Pius brothers are stepping up sooner than they should. You don't get to determine that. And if you're trying to use your reputation as a means to say, well, you know, they don't deserve to fight me because they're not at my level yet. Well, they're calling you out. They're calling you out. If the Pius brothers were debuts and called you out, the only thing that would hold you back would be the commission. The commission would say no to that fight. They were like, no, we're not going to do it. We'll let you get one or two fights in. So I wouldn't even have entertained it. I'm like, ah, don't argue with them because, well, they got a lot of things working against them. But when they started winning, people were mad because they came on the scene and they didn't have the skills. It was some things that looked a little off about them. And so people were pissed. And here we are, roughly 3 weeks from Fight For It. Pat Burns got Drew, the Screw. Jacob Baez is still looking for an opponent, right? I have not checked the updates today, but yesterday, as of yesterday, Mason Weston could not take that fight. So Jacob was out, but he wants to defend his title. Somebody needs to step up. And I don't need someone who's like a 2-0. I don't need someone who's like a 15-0. I don't need someone who has like even record. I don't need someone who has a former championship, a belt from another show, who's done this. I need someone with the same attitude as the Pius brothers. Because this is how you become legendary. Now you step in there with a guy who's put it on the line verbally who said, I'm willing to fight anybody, everyone that, you know, the commission, the promotion will allow. They won't. They just want to fight. They just want to fight. And because they have that attitude, it's just a little fresh. It's a little different. We haven't seen that in a while. We haven't seen people just willing to step up and take on anybody at any given time. And then when they start headlining shows and they start selling tickets and when they start drawing the audiences and then the crowds and their reputations get a lot bigger, don't be jealous. Don't be jealous because they're just doing it. And it's crazy because you know who's not concerned about the Pius brothers? A lot of the old heads like me who've been around this game for a while, because we've seen it before. We've seen Ricky Rainey, all right? Our own Nick Grady. We've seen people out here calling their shots. There's nothing wrong with that, especially on the local level. Any of you guys familiar with Bread, Michael Allen? Michael Allen was the greatest promoter for his own team, for other teams, for his promotions. Michael Allen knew how to call shots. Michael Allen at one point was so sincere. The fight, it never happened. But Michael Allen was saying, North Carolina versus, it wasn't North Carolina at the time. It was Fight Lab. Fight Lab versus Warfare, I want to say. Was it Fight Lab versus Warfare? Fight Lab versus Conflict, Fight Lab versus NFC, but he was putting it out there. He's putting it on the line, and that kind of stuff, it was a buzz. It was a lot of attention, you know. Mike was like, let's do this. A lot of you weren't around, or you didn't care, or you just didn't know about those moments, that's why you think that the Pius brothers are delusional. These arrogant mother suckers. No. It's always been somebody out there calling their shot. I love it. It's always been somebody calling their shot. And guess what, man? Ladies, men, women, children, if you're listening to this, the chances you might lose. That's always a chance. When you step inside of a cage, there's you, your opponent, there's some judges. There's a referee. There's a lot of moving entities that might determine your success or your failure. Referee might stop you more times than your opponent, may warn you more times than your opponent, may put his hands on you to some degree. But he will be a factor in that fight. So you need to make sure you train for that, to stay focused, to stay in the proper mindset so that he doesn't become a distraction and throw you off your game. The judges may not like you. You might be fighting in that fighter's hometown, and they might have a bias. Things are starting to go his way. You need to prepare for that and be ready. But the bottom line is this. No matter what those external circumstances are, the only thing that really matters is you must fight the man or woman in front of you. That's what you got to deal with. And then in some cases, I understand where, you know, like what looks like delusion, I understand where it comes from. I get it. I've seen people talk about this before. When I was in the Army, there was a sergeant, Sergeant Andrews. Everybody remember Sergeant Andrews? Oh, my God. Everybody's had a Sergeant Andrews. Because he talked about his physical abilities. He could ruck all day, run all day, jump higher than anybody else. So I played on a sports team with my Sergeant Andrews. Played some tackle football, played some basketball. The dude was 5'7" and could do a standing two-hand dunk. So he could talk that talk, but he could walk that walk. And you didn't have to like him. You didn't have to like him. I thought he was arrogant, but I liked him just fine. I liked him just fine. I said, you know what? I like this guy. I want him on the team, but I had a distance. I had a position where I was going to keep him. Like, he's going to be over here. He's going to stay in this little vein over here. But everything that he brings competitively, I loved. I could learn a lot from this guy. He's probably maybe 13, 14 years older than me at the time. so I could learn a lot. You need a Sir Andrews in your life. You need a Paez Brothers in your life. All right? Even if it's just from a distance, you need them. Get your fire going. Give you a reason to wake up and say, you know what? This is why I train. This is why I put my shoes on. This is why I put my pants on one leg at a time. This is why I shadow box. This is why I focus. Because you need a dance partner. You need somebody to give you reason. You need somebody to help you, you know, find your inner man and get a little inspired by, even if you're not fighting the Paez Brothers, even if you're in the wrong weight class. That they might be fighting your teammate down the line. So get inspired. Say, you know what? I'm going to use that their energy so I can get better and help my teammates. All right? Because the bottom line is someone's got to win, someone's got to lose. Someone's got to win, someone's got to lose. There's no need to have fear. Somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. So we already know the outcome of the fight. That's just a given right there. That's the two most likely possibilities that are going to happen when you step aside the cage. So what's left? The performance. Who gives it their all? Who brings it? Who comes to fight? That's the only thing that matters. You can hang on not to lose. You can try to just squeak by and get a win. But people will remember that performance. They'll say, man, that sucked. Wouldn't want to see that again. So that's what you do. You got to go in there with the attitude. You know what? The only thing that really matters is to fight. I'm here to fight to win. And you bring all the skills and tools that lead up to a win. That's what you come to the cage with. May 11th, Fight For It 20. Same thing for all the fighters. Whitlow, I think he has that. I think he has that it factor. It hasn't turned it on yet. He's fighting Michael Hall in a pro fight. I think they're fighting at 45. Levi Whitlow has it. He has it. I haven't seen him like just click. Don't get me wrong. That doesn't mean he's losing or anything. You know, he's had some good performances, but it's kind of like this calm demeanor. The guy could really be special. You know, he's beating some people I didn't think he could beat. You know, I like to see it click. I like to see it turn on. And he's going to, I think, against Michael Hall, he's going to have to turn it on. You've seen the videos out there, Mixers MMA, Todd Monroe training with Michael Hall. They're getting it in, man. They're getting work done. They're coming prepared. When I see the videos of Todd Monroe not training at Mixers MMA, he's over at Millennial. He's traveling. He's putting in the work. He's doing that. And also, this is what Todd does now. Todd is nothing but a full-time trainer. This is how he makes his living, his occupation. So guess what Todd's doing? He's doing whatever is required to make his guys better, to ensure that win, to ensure that he can sustain his reputation, his lifestyle, his occupation, keep his gym going, recruit more fighters, better fighters. He's doing everything proper. Everything proper. And he's got Fuller taking on Big Mike from over at Elevate. That's going to be fun. That's going to be fun. A lot of fun in an MMA fight. Has Todd, have you asked for too much too soon? Huh? Have you asked too much too soon? Because Mike brings it. You know, he's another guy that's training between multiple gyms, multiple talented gyms like Elevate, multiple talented gyms like Gym O. I've seen him, man. I've worked with this guy. I'm telling you, that's going to be a good fight. I like heavyweights on a card. I like heavyweights on a card. And speaking of cards, is Samurai Fighting Championships, is that a good card or not? Have you seen that card? I'm looking at that card and I'm looking at Fight For It. I'm like, ooh, these cards almost go hand in hand. It's almost like Samurai stepped it up a little bit. Got some decent competition fighting on this card. I think they can give Fight For It a little run for the money in the matchup department. I'm not sure who's matchmaking for Samurai, but Marcelo, they're trying to give you a run for the money, my friend. Yes, indeed. Stepped it up a little bit. And that's nothing wrong with that. Competition is a good thing. Competition is a good, fine thing to help set the level, raise the level, because that's what we want. That's what we need. The promotion could be delusional. You know, old Bob Gracie himself, Robert Asbury, he could start pumping out press releases saying, oh, we're the best promotion. We have this. We have that. We've got more championships, X, Y, Z. He could be delusional. The only thing that matters is at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, who could do what they said they would do? Which company was that? Was that Fight for It? Was that Samurai Fighting? Was that Next Level? Was that Lightning Strikes? Lightning Strikes, you know, other than maybe I'm just used to more fights being on the card, it wasn't a bad kickboxing show, especially because I'm making my return, so I could be biased making my return after 20-some years, but it wasn't a bad show. It wasn't a bad show overall. So I'm kind of looking forward to the next one. And some of the people out here that I do know who are helping with shows coming up in June, August, September. I think we got October and November on the list too from some different shows. Fight for It's trying to do Charlotte after this one. This one's in Raleigh. You know, it's a lot of people, a lot of fight shows. I haven't sat down and started doing the numbers, but I think we're up to 5 or 6 different promotions, which is good because at one point we were up to 12. If we get that halfway mark and the commission's only been back for roughly a year now, things would really look good. If we've got 6 promotions back on track after a year, and you give it 2 years, 3 years, and we're back up to 12 promotions, and we've got boxing going on. We've got kickboxing going on. We've got combat sambo, jiu-jitsu. We've got MMA going on. It'll make a hell of a run for a short period of time, 3 years, 4 years, get a lot of stuff done. And when you have more promotions, you got more fighters out there, guess what you're also going to have? The gyms are going to be packed out. The gyms are going to be packed out. You're going to have more people coming into the gyms because they want to get on shows. Matter of fact, Marcelo hit me up the other day. A guy wants to get on a show. Guy wants to get on a show, but he's not affiliated with the gym. You're going to see that a lot more. The promotions are going to help these gyms actually get packed out a little bit. The promotions are going to help these gyms get packed out because people want to be on the shows. And the cool thing about this is they will have seen a Paez brother. They will have seen a Keith Rockstar Richardson, world champ. They will have seen Ultimate Fighter Brian Battle. They will have seen a D. Reddick who gets to train with the world champ. What? They will have seen a Jonathan Martin who gets to train with the Ultimate Fighter. What? So people are going to say, well, I want that same energy. I want to be in the gym with the best. And if nothing else, they just want to be around those guys for reputation's sake, for notoriety. You might have guys saying, you know what? I'm just going to jump into MMA because I run a tattoo business. And these fighters, former ex guys, former military guys, former Marines, former cops, these guys are the type of people that usually get tattoos, repeat customers. So you're gonna have a lot of reasons that people jump into these gyms. Even the ones who just say, I just love to enjoy the fights. I'm a fan. I buy every ticket. I come to every show. But every fight show out there is going to help build the industry, not just the fight industry. All right. But they're going to actually help build the gym industry, the martial art itself. And the martial arts are going to win because they're going to get, what are they going to get? They're going to get the women, and women generally have kids, and kids are going to start doing this younger. And so then they can grow their talent slower, more deliberate. They're going to be better skilled. you know, having this conversation with John Schell and some of his teammates over there. We were talking about that kid that tapped out the black belt. And, you know, you've heard me mention that in the last few weeks. It's got me thinking again. The kids, yes, especially talking with Jose over there, the kid that tapped him out, the difference is that in the early days, you were learning from magazines, books, videos, from an occasional seminar, from the occasional black belt that might come through town. You were learning sporadically all over the place, trying to piece it together yourself. But now there's so many black belts and so many competitions. What works is streamlined. So you go right to the source. You get all the information. But the other thing is, these kids are learning at such a younger age, and we know that kids younger retain information for a lot longer. They can also process in a better way. They can make their distinctions in a better way. And so they're becoming more knowledgeable, more skilled, faster, and with pure conscious thought. It's not interrupted. Their training is very specific. They understand what they're up to. They go straight to the target. They're not guessing. And with so many black belt coaches out there now, they're not guessing. And Muay Thai world champions, they're not guessing. MMA champs, they're not guessing. So these kids are younger, more athletic, bigger, stronger. They're more disciplined too. All right? Because they know all those bad things that these older coaches have told them. Don't do that. Don't do like I did. Do as I say. And they're learning from these valuable lessons. And so they're driven. They've got a little bit of an obsession, and they're going straight to the top, straight to victory. And because they have that advantage, that edge, if you will, then when you give them a little bit of a room, you know, give them a reason like, oh, I could be in a gym with world champs. I could be in a gym with the best there is. I could be on TV. I could be famous. I could have a reputation by doing this. You give them something that fuels the fire just a little bit. Oh, my goodness. You get something spectacular. You get something excellent. You get something impressively amazing. And that's where we are. That's the culture that we're in now. Social media is not hurting anything. Social media is helping everything. It's helping everything. Gonna take a quick one. Come right back.
Carolina Fight fans, get your popcorn ready for the most exciting local MMA event of the year, May 11th. Support your local Carolina MMA fighters as Paris Artis, 6-1 team rock out of Fayetteville, North Carolina, faces Jonathan Martin, 5-2 out of Carolina Combat Charlotte, North Carolina, in one of the most anticipated fights in Carolina history for the Fight For It lightweight title. Fight For It 20 will be one of the most exciting combat sporting events in local Carolina cage fighting history. Live cage fights Saturday, May 11th at the Kerr Scott Building in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Fight For It 20, our analysts Seth Stevenson and Dylan McGrath break down the main event bout between surging lightweights Paris Aries Artis and Jonathan the Phenom Martin. Both Stevenson and McGrath are calling this bout one for the ages. Here, they'll tell you why. Dylan McGrath, the significance this bout between Paris Artis and Jonathan Martin holds for the Carolinas MMA scene cannot possibly be overstated. Here, we have a face-off between two men who are, undeniably, the most desirable prospects in the Southeast right now. At Fight For It 20, they'll battle to determine the region's best at 155 pounds, with high potential for the winner, or for both men, for that matter, to move on to the big show. Says Stevenson, even without the career prospects looming for both Artis and Martin, this promises to be a thrilling fight decided by the intangible elements of the MMA game. Both men are capable mixed martial artists with incredible finishing abilities. On the surface, this fight looks like the classic striker, Artis, versus grappler, Martin. but if you peel back the layers, what you will find are two versatile MMA fighters who generate their success by creating amazing flows and tactical decisions and capitalizing on their opponent's mistakes. DM, this is a dream fight for any MMA fan. Artis and Martin are two complete, well-rounded martial artists with no immediately obvious weaknesses. And both almost always deliver fight-ending sequences and excitement with every exchange. Mad Coach, yes. They've both fought credible competition with winning records. And even against tough opponents, both men have a 100% finishing rate when they win. Artis built a reputation for his devastating striking, but his recent evolution as a grappler has made him truly formidable. He transitions seamlessly between the realms of striking and grappling, which presents a perplexing riddle for opponents to decipher. On the other side of the cage, Martin's prowess as a grappling virtuoso often hides his lethal striking arsenal. His towering frame and extensive reach allow him to operate with surgical precision, picking apart adversaries at distance before they can engage in contact range. DM, I'm sure that excitement will be palpable in the Kerr-Scott building on May 11. Mad Coach, definitely. The rise of these two fighters has been something special to witness. There's an interwoven narrative that binds these warriors. Their paths have intersected at pivotal junctures, forging a shared history that adds depth to their rivalry. For starters, they both cross paths with a common adversary, Marcus Blood, early in their fighting careers. And they achieved different outcomes. Artis emerged victorious in a closely contested affair, while Martin tasted the bitter pill of defeat. Since then, both have gone on to strive for championship glory, further entangling their destinies. While Artis fell agonizingly short of capturing a coveted title, Martin earned his first professional title, with a fifth-round stoppage that encapsulated his indomitable spirit and relentless pursuit of excellence. On May 11th, we'll get to see the latest act in this ongoing saga. I can't wait. Get your tickets today. Be sure to download the Fight For It app on the App Store or Google Play to pick your fantasy winners at Fight For It 20. The pool is free to play, and will award the top three scorers with their share of cash prizes.
So you can see, you know, what was written about Artis and Martin, and you can find that on the Fight For It website with the latest updates. They've had their struggles, and they've had their successes. Martin was able to win a professional title, whereas Paris failed. And a common opponent, Paris was able to beat that guy, whereas Martin failed against him. That's what makes this fight intriguing, compelling. And also, it's easy to say, oh, the grappler versus striker, but the honest, we're talking about two well-rounded mixed martial artists. We know that artists can grapple. He's finished off a few opponents. And we know that Martin can strike. In fact, Brian Battle told me personally, this guy, when he wants to bring it, this is the guy to bring it. Josh Boschinger told me the same thing. When Martin wants to bring it, he brings it. You see what I'm saying? So when you're going to watch these two fights, you know what you're going to get between these two guys that you're not getting with the Baez brothers? You're not getting a whole lot of talk. You're not getting a whole lot of fanfare. You're not getting a whole lot of razzmatazz or machismo. You don't get that from these types of guys. What you get are punches that potentially can knock out the other guy. You get chokes that potentially put the other guy to sleep. You get arm locks and leg locks that could potentially leave the guy in the hospital. That's what you get with these guys. There's no guesswork with these two guys. You're not going to hear these guys talk a lot and badmouth one another. It's not been their way. It's never been their way. Their way has always been the work. You know how some guys say, oh, you're too much talking in the cage, you're too much talking in the ring. And then they really don't talk. They don't really do anything. They walk around acting tough and the fight was boring. That's not who these two guys are. Because they have those reputations, they don't need to say anything. See, if you're going to be the guy to say, I do all my talking in the cage, I do all my talking. Well, guess what? You should. Show us. Show us that's what you do. That is a spot reserved for a select few who actually fight inside of the cage, who do their talking in the ring, who do their display in the fighting arena. That's reserved. That's reserved. You got too many of these guys who say that as an excuse to be bitch ass. Not these two guys. Not Martin. not Paris. Nope. This is a Super Bowl main event. This is high competition at its finest. You know, this is the type of fight that if you're a ring card girl, you got to be on your game. If you're an announcer, you got to be on your game. If you're a commentator, you got to be on your game. If you're a matchmaker, if you're a promoter, you got to be on your game. That's where this fight lives. Because what they bring is high level of performance themselves. So everything around them has to be high level. I plan to be there. And I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to need all the cops to hold me back if I see anybody disrespect either one of these fighters. Because I'm going to be lurking in the shadows, and I might backstab somebody. I'm going to hit them across the head with an iron pipe. You're going to think I'm WWE. Because these two fighters here, you need to leave them alone, give them their space, let them come fight, do what they do, because it's already amazing. Sometimes I love watching WWE, and these special moments happen where two spectacular wrestlers show up. And they stand in the middle of the cage, and they don't touch one another. They just look. And sometimes they might have a small, short conversation, but they don't touch. They don't fight. They don't do the usual wrestling shenanigans. And the fans go, "This is awesome." And all they're doing is just standing there. "This is awesome. This is awesome." Because the fans can feel the energy. They can feel it. They know what's about to happen. They know the possibility. That's what you get with Martin and Artis. That's what you get. May 20th. I'm sorry, May 11th. Why did I go 20th? Something else in the back of my mind. But May 11th, Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm telling you. But with that being said, I got to be fair. And I'm looking over at May 31st. And I got to be fair, man. The Samurai Fighting Championship show. They're matching up, man. They're matching up. They've got Sasquatch, Kevin Satterfield. I'm telling you, man, that he's fighting in the heavyweight as a pro. Sasha Rockwood fighting Anna Somers as pros. You know, Brandon Gasca defending his lightweight championship against Elijah Gardner. You heard me talk about that one. Victor Ma taking on Osvaldo Gonzalez. Gonzalez is the Fight for It champion at 135. Come on now. I mean, those are some good matchups. I mean, honestly, I got to say, Marcelo, you got some competition here, man. You got some competition when I'm looking at these matchups. Trey Pace is in there taking on Edward Pettway. Trey Pace, the Ultimate Battlegrounds champion. Come on now. I mean, the Samurai Fighting Championship, man, they got some names out there. They're putting it out there. Now, Melanie Bradley and Hannah Matthews fighting again against one another. That was on Fight for It at one point. Now it's on this show. They're bringing some names out there. You got to give them. You got to give them a little bit of credit for being willing to put some of these fights on. So I think right now, both of these shows are somewhat comparable, you know, with the exception of the, there are a couple fights on Fight for It that stand out a little bit more. That if they get Josh Motzinger an opponent, that's going to push them over the edge. But there's some fights that still kind of leave you wondering about who's going to win. And guess what, guys? That's a good thing. No show should be so one-sided that you just go, "Oh, that person's going to win. Oh, that person's going to win." You should still have your concerns. Like, I go back to Brandon Gasca. That's my dog. But don't sleep on Elijah Gardner. At some point in time, you notice a fighter will hit a switch and something happens, something changes. Elijah's coming off some wins, man. And Brandon's coming off a loss where he vied for the Fight for It championship and lost to Jacob Pius. That's the kind of thing a fighter will use. And also coming from Battleborn, whew, Battleborn's that gym right now that's really setting themselves apart. Really setting themselves apart. Every year you have one or two gems that says, hey, we belong in the top 10. It's no longer just Team Rock. It's no longer just Elevate. It's no longer Highest Stand. It's no longer Gem O. There's always these breakout gems, and Elijah Gardner's coming from one of those breakout gems. He's putting himself in that conversation, especially here in North Carolina. But I go over here to Fight for It, man. If they get Motsinger a fight, it'll push it over the top. It'll be the better show. But right now, man, I mean, George Copa against Isaiah Monroe, that's a tough fight to swing either way, man. Because Copa is proving that he is a man who is improving. He is a man who is going to bring it. And Monroe's got to do everything he needs to do. He's got to be proper in the gym. He can't take this fight for granted. He's fighting on a card with Paris Artist. He can't let his teammate be a distraction, nor can Artist let his teammate be a distraction. They've been roommates in the past. They're his closest brothers. You got to go out and fight your own fight. You got to go out and fight your own fight. But George Copa, he can make this into a fight. Drew Pius is taking on Pat Byrd. The reality is Drew Pius is in the driver's seat. Pat Byrd has to go out and eradicate. He can't squeak by. He can't use the judge's help. He can't beg the referee for interference. He's got to eradicate Drew Pius. Because if he doesn't, this is a walkthrough fight for Pius. It is. It's a walkthrough fight. So that fight right now leans in the favor of Pius, because the Pius brothers have upped their skills. Submission-wise, striking-wise, they've upped their skills. Here's a sleeper fight for you. Ramiro Gutierrez against Ethan Blevins. Blevins is the former, or maybe the current, I don't know what Ultimate Battlegrounds has right now, but Blevins at one point was the Ultimate Battlegrounds champion at 45. He won it a year or so ago, and now he's over here in Fight for It. And he's taking on Gutierrez. And let me tell you, man, Gutierrez does not play. In fact, Gutierrez is, in my opinion, if he gets past this fight and maybe one more fight, if he gets past this fight and it's still the Pius brothers who are the champions, they're still there, I don't mind seeing Gutierrez fight for the title at three fights. I don't mind. This kid's got finishing skills. This guy's got an amazing wrestling, amazing pedigree with combat athletics and show sales being behind him. I don't have a problem with it. I think this guy's got a lot of potential. There's a lot of upside to this kid. And normally when you talk about upside, you only say, oh, we're only talking about a guy that, you know, has, you know, 15, 20 fights in boxing or something, or kickboxing. But no, this guy has competitive background from the wrestling, the jiu-jitsu that aids what we're seeing him do in the MMA. That's why I say he has so much upside. He guys got a lot more competitive background than a lot of people know about. And I'm saying this guy can do a lot of things in a short period of time. He's kind of like the Pius brothers. He's young, all right? And he has the abilities and the skills. Yeah, he don't talk like the Pius brothers, all right? He don't say crazy stuff that, you know, that people turn on and say, ooh, we don't like this guy. All right. But he's doing the same thing. I told you earlier, Quincy Evans is going out there eradicating people, winning championships, saying, I want to fight the best people. He's doing the same thing that the Pius brothers. The Pius brothers are winning championships, eradicating people, and doing what they say they're going to do. They just got a different flavor to it. It's just a different approach to it. Well, Gutierrez has got the same thing. He just needs his championship opportunity, but he's doing the same thing. He says, hey, I'm going to knock some people out. I know you think I'm a grappler, but I'm knocking people out. I'm putting them to sleep. But he's doing the same thing. D. Reddick's doing the same thing. Yeah, I'm a good-looking guy, and I'm calm, and I'm sophisticated, and I'm a good orator, and I articulate well, and you know. But he's doing the same thing. Just because they have a different approach to it doesn't mean that they're bad people, that they're wrong. They just have their flavor. You're not going to like everybody's flavor. Trust me, there's plenty of people out there who like what the Pius Brothers are doing. They like it. They're all about it. We've already talked about Michael Hall taking on Levi Whitlow. Some of the other names, again, I'm looking forward to that Blevins fight against Gutierrez. One of the things that stood out to me was there were a few more debuts on the MMA portion of this card. Now, that doesn't mean that these guys are debut fighters. They could be coming from kickboxing. They could be coming from some other background that we don't know about. But I thought for a Fight For It card, I thought seeing that many names on the card that were debuters, I was like, that's a lot for them. Because usually the Fight For It card usually is where the experience shows up. Now, I have not seen the kickboxing portion of the Fight For It card. I've not followed it as much. So maybe that's where the supplement is, that you're actually going to get more experience on the kickboxing side this time. And maybe there's a couple championships on the line. Because you're gonna get your 20 plus fights on Fight For It. Without even knowing what the card is and what it says, I'm almost certain that you're going to get your 20 plus fights. The kickboxing starts at 3 p.m. and the MMA starts at 7 p.m. You're going to get your 20 plus fights. All right. You're going to have to really be in there for an all day ride. And right now, because I don't have any kickboxers that I know of that I want to see, that I'm probably not in a hurry to get there. Raleigh's only 45 minutes away from me, so I'm not in a hurry to get there. I might make a bit of a day of it, you know, when it comes to May 11th. You know, I can get out to the malls and shop and walk and talk and then work my way into the fights themselves. But I'm not 100% sure. And then, of course, you know, some of the other highlights of the show, my man Dylan McGrath is going to be doing the commentary. Dylan's working on some lead-in stuff with promos, videos, and audio. Make sure you check it out. Make sure you check it out. He does a good job with a lot of his production stuff when he has the time to do it. And if he's taking the effort and the time to do it, support it by, at a minimum, following him, liking him, sharing the info. You know, I was looking at a post, which is true. It's not the only mechanism, but the fighter was saying, you know, support fighters by doing the simplest things, even if they're not monetary, like share our post. Because having a reputation for a fighter is huge. They need to get their names out there. So share the post. Comment positively on the post. Even look, I haven't seen too many things out there that I can't find a positive perspective when it comes to a particular post. You know, I mean, there are going to be some things, if it breaks my morals, if it goes against my moral compass, yes, I'm not going to be able to support it. You know, but if I can see it at a minimum, Just a slight dose of an impressive attitude, an impressive attempt to gain attention for themselves. I'm like, yeah, I can support this. I can repost it. Because sometimes that's all you need. That's all an athlete needs, is just someone to comment on it in a positive way, to repost it, to like it, to share it. You know, doesn't take a lot. They're not asking you to re-edit the info. They're not asking you to do a follow-up video and give your thumbs up about how good it was or wasn't. They're not asking you to do a lot. So with these athletes, and Dylan is a competitive jiu-jitsu player, and he's a purple belt. He's a commentator. He's been around the game a while, but he's a competitor in my mind because he also wants to eventually make a career professionally with real journalism, with real commentary, being on the bigger shows, being able to work for ESPN and things of that nature. I don't have a problem with that. We all have a dream, man. We've all got dreams. And I'm saying this from my heart to help him in any way that I can, that he lives it. You know, so and he's doing all the right things. You have to start locally. You have to start in the grassroots situation and work your way up, because ain't nobody going to do it for you. I still remember an episode of Oprah, and that she had a guy on, the guy that came up with the Super Soaker. And he was in the Army. He was in the Air Force at the time, and he was some type of engineer. And I just remember something he said, you know, about when he first became an entrepreneur. He didn't quit right away. He wanted to make sure this thing was going to help make him money. But I remember him saying, it's nobody's job to make you rich. It's nobody's job to make you rich. And I've taken that to make it my own. It's no one's job to make you successful at anything. It's no one's job. So you got to be patient. You got to stay consistent. You got to dial it in when you can. Because there are some days when you're going to back off, man. Like, you think about it. I'm sitting here talking about the Baez brothers. They're turning it on right now. Why? Because we're getting closer to the show. We're getting closer to the show. But they can't stay this way all the time. It's draining. No matter how much they think they can stay this way, it's draining. They can't be turned on like this all the time. There's a day you turn it on. There's a day you turn it off. There's a day you turn it on. There's a day you turn it off. But you need to turn it on if you plan on getting somewhere. And they pick their moment. And it's not just them. It's other people who've done a really good job. Sasha Sullivan, man. I've been in the gym with her. I can't wait for that fight. That's going to be pretty amazing. You know? It's just certain people that have that switch. And to me, the most talented fighters have it. They're able to just go to another level. Be able to pick it up just one more notch. Give you something you didn't expect as an opponent. Give you something you didn't expect as a fan. When I was working with guys like Damon Blackshear before he got to the UFC, the one thing that kind of gave me a clue was we were at a show one time and I was warming him up, and his warm up, as I was warming him up, he turned it on to another level. He was moving so fast and so quick. I could barely keep up with him. I felt like I was behind. And that's only happened with one other fighter, and that was Ricky Saxton, who used to be able to train with Team Elevation before he joined an army. We had a show one time, and Ricky, his warm-up, he just turned it up. Just started moving faster. It was like he was Neo in the Matrix, and Trinity was like, you move like they do. It's like he just became another person. Like, he leveled up while I was holding mitts and pads for him. He was kicking harder, punching faster. That's the level up that I'm talking about. When you just turn it on, you're not the same person that you were in the gym. It's like a machine gun suddenly going off. It's not just the fastest person, you know. You're not like just a good athlete. You suddenly become the Flash. You suddenly become a machine gun moving faster than light. That's how you know. I'm sorry if I can't give you a better description, but that's how I know. That's the clue for me when they kind of reach that point, when they just level up out of nowhere. And you don't know what day it's going to be. I've seen Tim Kennedy and Jason Palacios one day just go in the gym. Had nothing to do with me. I would just sit back watching, but I could tell something happened. Something happened. Every fighter will have it. Every fighter will go through it if they are diligent. I won't say every fighter, but the diligent ones, if they go through that moment of hitting the flow, hitting that flow state at the highest levels, and the real trick is, how do I maintain it? And to me, that's where the Baez brothers are. They figured out for themselves how to find a way to maintain it and how to keep coming at the best competition, challenging themselves. And again, for some people, what they're saying and what they're doing feels disrespectful. It does. It feels disrespectful. But I assure you that all they're doing is really just putting themselves out there to get the best fight they can. And hopefully, like I said, they bring some attention to the industry, attention to the show, and by default, attention to their opponents. I'm going to hit this promo one more time. But I'm on my way out. I am Coach Sass. And you've had words with the Mad Coach.
Carolina Fight fans, get your popcorn ready for the most exciting local MMA event of the year, May 11th. Support your local Carolina MMA fighters as Paris Artis, 6-1 Team Rock out of Fayetteville, North Carolina, faces Jonathan Martin, 5-2 out of Carolina Combat Charlotte, North Carolina, in one of the most anticipated fights in Carolina history for the Fight For It lightweight title. Fight For It 20 will be one of the most exciting combat sporting events in local Carolina cage fighting history. Live cage fights Saturday, May 11th at the Kerr Scott Building in Raleigh, North Carolina.